welcome to another exciting podcast from The Thought Police. That's me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Kevin, very good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Mike.
It's been another busy old week, hasn't it? And who would have thought that the first thing we're going to talk about is old Nicola Sturgeon. Currently still under investigation. Nobody knows whether she'll be found guilty of anything, of course. But apparently she thinks Boris Johnson's a fucking clown.
A fucking clown. That's what she wrote in WhatsApp. She's the latest politician. They're so fucking stupid that they don't know that when you write something on WhatsApp, you'll probably get fucking found
Do you know what this is like? This is like when people used to write emails, isn't it? And then they'd fucking get discovered. And then people would go... I remember talking to a mate of mine years and years ago who worked in the computer business. And he said, any email you ever write is somewhere in fucking a vault in either Switzerland or India or somewhere. It can always be found. No matter what you wrote, no matter how much you think you can get rid of it, it will always be there and there'll be no fucking destroying it.
And that's what politicians are finding out. You commit anything to print technologically, online, in an email, WhatsApp, be fucking careful. So she said not only was Boris Johnson... This is during the COVID crisis where she... deluded herself that she was running Scotland fantastically well and Boris was making a fuck up of England.
Turns out she wasn't.
It turns out she was as big a cunt as the rest of them.
Well, actually, it turns out worse than that because their COVID deaths were worse. Their fucking care home deaths were worse. And if you didn't die of COVID, there's a pretty good chance you'd die of alcoholism or fucking heroin.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, you feel like saying, Nicola... there's a brewery over there. I want to organise a piss up in it. Don't apply for the job, unfortunately, you useless bitch.
Yeah, unfortunately, she'd already shut it down.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget, my mates up there working, trying to run fucking nightclubs. At one point, they were suggesting that they could open a nightclub only if people, when they were dancing, would wear a mask.
Ha!
And you're going, I mean, apart from the arse, that's fucking dangerous.
And don't forget the brilliant thing she did to save children from catching COVID. Increased ventilation at schools. She ordered 6 inches to be sawed off the bottom of all classroom doors.
And let's not forget, you know who the health secretary in Scotland was at the time?
Humza Useless.
Humza Useless, exactly right. And it now turns out that this guy, Jason Leach, who was their sort of equivalent in a way of, I don't know if he was the equivalent of Chris Whitty, I suppose he was. He was their sort of chief medical guy. Basically told everybody, don't worry about breaking the rules. Just as long as you've always got a drink in your hand, you don't need to wear a mask. It shows you how much they didn't give a fuck and how they really didn't believe any of it, you know?
And actually, what the COVID crisis was all about in terms of Scotland and England was both countries, both Prime Minister and the First Minister, trying to prove that they were better than each other. Mm. This is what we found out from Matt Hancock from Isabel Oakeshott's WhatsApp files, the revelations about the messages that our useless politicians were sending each other during the COVID crisis. Was that basically it was all about, well, what's Nicola Sturgeon doing? Oh, we better do that.
Yeah.
Oh, let's say she hasn't done that well and we've done it brilliantly. Meanwhile, Nicola Sturgeon's going, what's Boris doing? They're just playing fucking useless tennis.
Yes.
Trying to be better than each other, and neither of them, none of them had a fucking clue what to do about the COVID crisis.
And it also meant that none of them that were making any of these decisions were making decisions based on anything other than trying to make sure they did it before the other one did.
Yeah.
Fucking nothing to do with what they were actually doing.
It's all to do with each other.
I'm just looking at what the details of these COVID inquiry questionings are.
Yeah.
And it basically says that Humza Yousaf has now issued a grovelling apology to the COVID inquiry bereaved relatives for the mass deletion of WhatsApp messages showing how the Scottish Government dealt with the pandemic. He says, I apologise unreservedly for the corporate mindset. Well, sorry, not fucking good enough.
Yeah.
He goes, there's no excuse for it. We should have done better. Yeah, well, fuck off then.
So,
fucking resign.
I wonder why. This is just exactly the same as, magically, a month's worth of WhatsApps from Rishi Sunak, when he was the Chancellor of the Exchequer, of course, and Boris Johnson, and Matt Hancock, all went missing.
Yes.
Magically. Just as they did in Scotland. All these politicians. Ooh, I wonder what happened to those WhatsApp messages. Did they take a look back at them and think, fucking hell, what a cunt I am, I know. I'll delete all of those. I wonder if that was the case. Who the fuck they think they're kidding.
Also, they think we're fucking stupid.
Exactly.
I mean, they just do whatever they fucking like, and they assume that we will now trust them to do the next thing that they want to do, which, of course, we fucking won't.
Yeah.
Because why would you now trust anybody in the Scottish government to do anything right, and why would you trust anybody in the fucking British government to do anything right?
Yeah, and fucking Nicola Sturgeon going, oh, Boris Johnson, what a fucking clown. Hey, Nicola.
Yeah.
You're a fucking Pot clown kettle. Too, if not a lot worse.
Well, at least he's not being investigated by the police.
Yeah.
You know.
At least he isn't driving around in some sort of motorhome that costs 110 grand, you know, if you know what I'm talking
Apparently
about.
Apparently that's still parked up outside police headquarters. They haven't fucking managed to work out what to do with it yet.
Maybe Nicola and her husband will turn up and take it on another holiday. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sure they never took it on a holiday.
Absolutely not. No, they just left it on her mother-in-law's front drive, didn't
it? It was a Scottish National Party battle bus.
Yes.
Never used for political purposes.
Right.
110 grand. Wonder how it got purchased and for whom.
Mm. Yeah, well, do you know, there is a certain £600,000 that's missing.
Yeah.
So I suppose it could have come from that.
Well, I'm not casting any aspersions.
Me neither.
But I will say one thing, I'm making no allegations here, but you can't bury a motorhome. The police did go round to Nicola Sturgeon's house and start digging up the fucking garden.
Yes.
So I wonder what was buried there.
Yeah, although they say they were only doing that for some purpose which had nothing to do with them digging up the garden. And they put these tents out and they had shovels, but they said they weren't digging up the garden. Doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah.
And so why did the police take so fucking long to do everything?
Yeah, well, they should have been round to her house a lot earlier, and the allegation up there is that the police waited until Humza Yousaf was safely ensconced as Nicola's deputy or a successor, and then they went round to see Nicola, because if they had gone round before, Humza Yousaf would have never got in.
Well, that's why they did it in such a hurry.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking incredible. Good that we're talking about it today, because it's actually Burns night tonight.
Ah, yeah.
So we'll be having a bit of a fucking celebration, a bit of haggis going on. That idiot Alistair Campbell put out a fucking ludicrous tweet today suggesting that because of Brexit, we can't export as much haggis as we should be able to.
Oh, well, that's a fucking national tragedy.
What the fuck are you talking about?
How will the economy ever recover from that?
I know. So people
crisis.
People were breaking the news to him that, you know, that's not actually a living thing that you can shoot and kill. You know, it is actually made by butchers, and you can actually export it, and quite a lot of people buy it in America.
I like
haggis. I like a bit of haggis,
nice.
In fact, Gordon Ramsay's in the ship for doing some kind of expensive Burns night dinner. In fact, 75 quid, which doesn't sound ridiculous.
If you buy it out of shop sort of thing?
I think so, yeah.
I'm
just going to try and find it here. But he's been in trouble because people are saying that it's not... Oh, here it is, £75, four-course Burns night dinner. People are complaining that the feast divides opinion because the haggis and venison Wellington is raw. And it does look a bit raw.
Well, don't you have to cook it?
Well, I presume so. Oh, no, it's in his Bread Street kitchen in St. Paul's in Edinburgh.
That's his restaurant. So that's his restaurant. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's serving it up, obviously, very rare, I suppose.
Oh, blimey.
But, you know. Anyway.
Burns Night. What happens on Burns Night? You're a Scottish.
Well, you're
Scottish.
I was in Scotland, there was always these big Burns Night do's, and you'd go out and it'd be like a black tie thing, and if you wanted to, you'd wear a kilt.
Yeah.
So a lot of them would. And then they pipe in the haggis. So they've got a guy with bagpipes, and they have the haggis on a big tray, and they pipe it in, and then somebody reads the ode to the haggis, which is by Robbie Burns, which is quite funny.
I was up in Scotland once, right?
And then basically everybody gets completely shit-faced and usually starts fighting around about 11 o'clock.
But they do that every night.
It's a good night out in Glasgow.
But I was up there on holiday with my wife and my dog, and we were on this fantastic, you know, those old classic Scottish castle.
Oh, yeah.
Things, right on the banks of the River Tee.
Right, very nice.
And there was the main people staying at the hotel, well, salmon fishing, men and women.
Was this up near Dundee somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere like that. River Tee, yeah. Anyway.
River Tay?
Yeah, is it the Tay?
Yeah,
there you go. Tee. That's fucking Newcastle or something.
Teesside, yeah, that's Middlesbrough.
Yeah, Teesside. There's a clue there. Tayside. So I was. Anyway, so we were this really nice lodge. If you had a dog, you had to stay in these lodges right by the river, which was nice until you realised that every morning all the fishermen were coming down waiting to get on their boats with their gillies and all that. And a fucking piper would come beneath our window about 7 fucking a.m. piping the fucking salmon to come and get caught by right. these fucking fishermen every bloody morning.
Oh.
Fucking bagpipes.
They used to do that at Turnberry, but in fact it was at 6 o'clock at night, which wasn't quite
that's
so bad.
That's not too bad. Yeah. The Queen, Her Majesty, R.I.P., the late great Queen, every fucking morning at Buckingham Palace, everywhere she was, she had a piper come out to fucking wake her up. Well, right, what kind of masochist was that?
Well, I drove past Buckingham Palace the other day, actually, which was quite interesting, because there's an awful lot of people still walking around there, like tourists, who want to come. You know how people go, oh, nobody would come if there wasn't fucking, if there was no royal family. I mean, you know, people would stop coming because the fucking palaces are a massive fucking draw. But let's talk about the royal family because Harry and Meghan are in the shit again, aren't they?
Yeah, well, fucking
hell. They seem to have popped off to Jamaica.
Yeah, look, this is so is my theory right away. But they've gone from flown from California, more planet destroying jets.
Yes.
No doubt private.
Probably a private jet.
We don't know that for sure. But anyway, they flew down to Jamaica for the premiere of a film about Bob Marley, Jamaica's most famous favourite son, the reggae star, of course, late great and all that.
Yeah.
It's called One Love, after his song. Anyway, so they fly down, you think, why the fuck are they going to this premiere? You know, I suspect they don't get invited to many premieres.
No, they're having to leave the country now to go.
You know, and trust me, this movie will be on Netflix this time next week. Yeah. You know, you don't have to go. So Harry goes down there, the Prime Minister of Jamaica, hates Britain, hates the Commonwealth, is severing all links with the UK, hates the royal family, recently said we need to move on from the British monarchy.
Yeah.
So Harry and Meghan arrive, and Harry says to this guy, Andrew Holness, he goes, I had to be here.
Right.
Well, the point is, he absolutely did not have to be there. Yeah. What the fuck are that couple doing, or were they doing, down there, rubbing shoulders with these people who fucking hate Britain? Well, I don't have a problem.
And embarrassed William and Kate when they went, right?
Yeah,
because it just really made it very awkward for them. But this will be her again, because he's so fucking thick, Harry, right?
Ah!
Right, that she'll go, this is a good idea, you know, and he'll go, great, let's show how multicultural we are, it'll be marvellous. Yeah. He probably doesn't even realise how important this guy is to the people in the Commonwealth who want to get rid of the fucking British ties.
Yeah. I mean, I've got no problem. Andrew Holness, he's the Prime Minister, democratically elected Prime Minister. If he wants to sever all links with Britain, doesn't like the royal family, fine. I have no problem with that. That's his decision.
Yeah.
He wants to run his country the way he wants to run it. But I do have a fucking big problem with Prince Harry, who, by the way, was appointed by his grandmother the president of the Commonwealth Trust.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have a serious senior position.
He hasn't got that anymore.
Well, no, of course not. But there he is, like, flaunting this.
Yeah.
And his grandmother will be spinning in her fucking grave.
And also, if you know, and I assume either he doesn't know or he does know and he's being particularly fucking awkward, if you know that your brother was embarrassed by this guy because of what he said while they were there, why would you fucking go and hang out with him?
I mean, is he that thick that he doesn't really get this? But Megan's not that thick.
No,
I mean,
no, she definitely would know exactly
what they know
what
they're doing. They're shit-stirring. Look.
But listen, they haven't had holidays since just before Christmas, though. They'd be worn out from all those award ceremonies that she doesn't even go to.
Because
this was the other thing that I didn't realise until the other day when I was talking to somebody about it. You know how he went to get his aviation award?
The living legend of aviation, right?
And she didn't go, right? Now, it struck me that was a bit weird, but not as weird as when somebody said to me, yeah, because she said she couldn't go because they had a sick child.
That's right.
Which, when this person was saying it to me, said, I think she did that because of the fact that Kate was in hospital.
I think there's something in that,
and if that's true, that makes her quite a weird person.
She's from Los Angeles. You know, I know about people from Los Angeles, and they're obsessed with award ceremonies.
Yeah.
It's an award ceremony.
Yeah.
Let's go and get an award.
Yeah.
Awards.
Yeah. Especially her. She loves an award.
Exactly. But she's like all people from Hollywood. It's an award ceremony. So he gets told, look, you know, John Travolta wants to present you with a living legend of aviation award because you flew a helicopter in Afghanistan.
That's the number two pilot.
So she, so my theory is she goes, oh, great. So, yeah, that's going to be great. It'll look great. John Travolta. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And then she sees all the shit that happens about this with all, everybody going, you fucking idiot. You're not a legend of aviation.
Right.
Army chiefs going, this is an insult to that, etc. So I think she saw all that and thought, do you know what? I'm going to give this one a swerve. He still goes, and he looked like an absolute wanker.
And he posed with that fake German prince,
Yeah.
Who now, in the looks even more fucking ridiculous. I actually just saw him. Yeah. I only saw it last night, his interview with Piers Morgan, where he was justifying the fact that he was a prince.
Because except he had he's not, is he?
No, he's not, because they don't have princes in Germany.
Yeah.
He's inherited some title from somebody in fucking Denmark, right? But he's known as the king of trash TV.
Yeah, and here's another
guy.
Style.
Here's another guy that Harry didn't know about. So he goes posing up with him, makes him look a total fucking idiot.
Yeah, and you know, the people who else that night got a Living Legend of Aviation award. Just to show you the standard of award this is.
Yeah, who was it?
Lauren Sanchez. She's married to Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world.
Right, the new Mrs.
Amazon,
Bezos.
Amazon owner.
Is that the new Mrs.
Bezos? They're not married yet. They're still partners.
Oh, okay.
They're getting married. But, anyway, so she can actually fly a helicopter.
Right.
But that doesn't make a living legend of aviation.
My mate Donald McLeod can fly a helicopter. Can he get one? You know, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
He's already got an MBE.
Yeah. So Harry Harry made an absolute dickhead of himself accepting this ludicrous award. And do you know what it's all about? It's an organisation called Kiddy Hawks. They organise it. It was at the Beverly Hilton, the ceremony.
Right.
And the whole idea of that organisation is to encourage 4 to 9 year olds to get into the aviation industry. Fine, but that doesn't strike me as a completely crucial cause. It's a bit like, as I said the other day, it's like causes like getting grannies to go scuba diving.
Yeah, right.
Who gives a fuck?
You're quite absolutely fucking right, though, when you say that it's California and it's Hollywood, so they just want to have an awards ceremony. So you just dream up some fucking charitable organisation, give out a few awards, get a few celebs around, get yourselves in the fucking Hollywood Reporter. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, and then, you know, the rest of us, you know, in Britain, we find the Golden Globes embarrassing because they're not the Oscars.
Well, the whole Oscars thing's fucking embarrassing. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what these fucking
awards
are. But at
least the Oscars are the top of the tree, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give the Oscars a break. All other ceremonies, you know, the fucking Critics Award and Critics Circle Award and the Directors Guild Award, on and on it goes.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard you doing your impersonation of Scorsese the other day. That was quite funny.
Oh, what, the
Taking Very Quickly New York guy.
The Italian. Yeah, somebody, by the way, I watched that film, you know.
I did. You know, we watched it last weekend.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
I thought, I said, there's no fucking way am I sitting down here for 3.5 hours. So we watched it over 2 days.
I did.
So watched about
Not
2 hours.
Not too bad that way.
Yeah, that way it was fine. Watched 2 hours, I think, Friday night, and then 1.5 hours or so on Saturday night. And actually, I thought it was quite good.
I did too. You know, I've got, but I do think in Hollywood, the thing about Martin Scorsese is, you know, he's sort of like revered as a god.
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic filmmaker, don't get me
wrong. Although I didn't like The Irishman, actually.
I quite liked it. But anyway, the point is, no one says no to Scorsese. Mm. So I know what's going on at these studios. They're going to fucking 3.5 hours. Who's going to tell him it's too long? Not me. So no one tells him.
Because that's the thing, in the old days, they would have had more power, the studios, but they don't anymore. Because remember, when there were those terribly long films that were made, what was that dreadful one with Marlon Brando? Not the Missouri Breaks, but it was Marlon Brando and Warren Beatty and
Missouri Breaks was directed by Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it wasn't Missouri Breaks, but remember when Apocalypse Now got made by Francis Ford Coppola? And I got, as a present actually, somebody bought me the DVD, the Redux edition of it, which was with the added in 20 minutes that they'd cut out.
Director's cut, four.
Yeah, and it was fucking shit. The 20 minute extra bit that was around, you know, I don't know how well you know the film, but there's a section.
I know it. Yeah.
You know where they go up river and end up in that French house where they're having, and they have dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the 20 minute that they cut out was basically more of them sitting around the table having dinner. It was almost the entire 20 minute section of them just sitting around talking. And it was crap. And it was quite right they fucking cut it out.
Yeah, director's cuts tend to be shit. Have a look at the director's cut, Ridley Scott, the original Blade Runner.
Yeah.
There was no narration.
I've never liked Blade Runner.
I love it. It's one of my favourite ever films. But the director's cut is shite. Absolute shite.
Really?
So basically, the studio they got the fucking film and said, "We have no idea what the fuck is going on here. Right. Better get a narrator in."
Right.
Which was, of course, Harrison Ford.
Yes.
However, yeah, so director's cuts. But the point is, millions of award ceremonies in Hollywood. And if you're from LA, you go to them and you think they're great.
Yeah.
The rest of the world go, fucking critics circle.
I know.
No thanks.
No.
What the fuck is this shit?
But also, they all sit around being terribly fucking twee, don't they? And they're all incredibly sort of, you know, I mean, like, even the Golden Globes, the people, when I used to live in America, I didn't do much of that stuff that you did a lot of, you know, the interviews where you go to interview the fucking star of the latest movie and you had to be in this, you know, Golden Globes fucking, what was it, the Foreign Press Association, whatever it was. And it was a real pain in the ass to get into it because they were so fucking snobbish.
Yeah.
And they, like, it was almost as though they were like, oh, but, you know, we're the film business, and we're the film industry. It's like, oh, fuck yourself.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, I used to go to these things, but they're fuck, you know. Well, I've been to so many awards ceremonies, and, you know, never once have I enjoyed one. They're so boring, just fucking stupid lovies patting each other on the fucking back. Weren't you wonderful, darling? But anyway, cut a long story short, that's why... my theory is that Megan thought it was a great idea to go to the Living Legends of Aviation Awards until the media and everybody else pointed out this is a joke.
Well, let's not forget, when they went to New York and had that high-speed car chase that never was.
Yeah!
They went to New York to get an award as well, do you remember? Because she was getting an award
for
some kind of, you know,
greatest humanitarian of the year or some bullshit.
You know, absolutely fucking... ludicrous. I suppose we better talk about the fucking Tories again, shouldn't we? Because they're writing the shit again. This is the week where this guy called Simon Clark, who most people have never fucking heard of, decided that they should get rid of Rishi Sunak, and nobody wanted to.
Well, it is what I think about this. So Sir Simon Clark, who's the second tallest man in Parliament. It's true.
I've heard he's very tall.
After that one...
Rishi Sunak looked up to
After that one with the Polish name.
He's yes, I know the guy.
Yeah, he's the tallest.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's like 6'8".
Yeah, he is massive, that guy. But Daniel something. Anyway, Clark, second tallest man in Parliament. He wrote a piece saying, you know, that Sunak, if the Tories go into the next election with Sunak as leader, they'll face utter electoral annihilation. All the top Tories, oh, you're a reckless rebel, shut up, absolutely nonsense, got to show unity. Privately, they all agree with
it. Yeah, but why won't they fucking do something then?
Well,
I mean, are they all shit scared that they'll all be wrong? Because that doesn't make any sense to me. Because surely if somebody does that... I mean, that happened just before my show started the other night. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. Let's see who's going to back him. Because I'd only, the previous day, I think, spoken to a couple of Tories at an event I was at, who were all saying, you know, what we need is a fucking revolution. And there's this new organisation forming called PopCon, which is going to make conservatism popular again, headed by Liz Truss, which Simon Clark was meant to be a part of, right?
Yeah.
And now he's presumably not going to be a part of it because she fucking didn't follow him.
Yeah. But this is the duplicity of the Tory party right now. You know, I mean, everybody knows it's fucked, but... The official line is, you know, we'll unity through strength, we'll unite behind Rishi Sunak, and go into the next election all guns blazing. Unofficially, you know, the unpublic face of it, they're all sitting in the bars in Westminster going, what a cunt he is, we're fucked. That's the truth.
Yes.
That's the truth.
But this is a bit I don't get, so, but they're willing to follow him over the fucking cliff into oblivion like a load of lemmings.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the fucking point of that?
I think that they should seriously think about a new leader. Also, Stephen Glover in the Mail today is saying, well, I've got an idea, Boris Johnson.
Well.
I've got a lot of problems with Boris Johnson, but I do think he's that kind of popular figure who could maybe do it.
The thing about Boris Johnson is that he wins elections.
Yes.
He's a bit like Tony Blair. You know, the one thing that all the new Labour people who hate Tony Blair and who sort of used to despise him and say, you know, what we don't want is Keir Starmer becoming the second Tony Blair. Well, why not? That's the only fucking one that won, he's the only Labour leader that won the election since the 1970s.
Yeah. You know? My problem with Boris Johnson is, you know,
he's a liar.
He's a Lib Dem. And he's
he's very green, isn't
he's
he?
He's obsessed with that green claptrap.
Right.
So if he comes back, you know, we'll all be spending about £1,000 a fucking month on levies to support windmills and solar. No.
Also, he wants to give all our money to fucking Zelensky in Ukraine, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's obsessed with it.
He's obsessed with fucking Ukraine. He'd been writing about Donald Trump the other week in the Mail. He managed to get a whole fucking chunk in about Ukraine and how he wants Donald to change his mind on Ukraine.
Yeah, and see, Donald gets it.
Yeah.
We should talk about him.
By the way,
great stuff in America. But Donald gets it. You know, the American public, you know, British people, they're so stupid in America. They're not. And by the way, they fucking got the number of this Ukraine crap way before we had.
Yes.
And what it is that just like us, they got a cost of living crisis, they're struggling to get by, and they go, Joe Biden, oh, I'm giving it another $30 billion and thousands of airplanes to the Ukraine.
Did you see, sorry to interrupt your flow there, but did you see his fucking speech last night? Or maybe the night before, because he had a rally. And he does one of those where he kind of runs off and forgets the words, where he goes, he starts talking about Donald Trump. And he goes, Donald Trump, if you think you're going to... And I think he's trying to say middle America, but he can't say it. And everyone's just cheering. And I report it out now, what they do at these Biden rallies is they cheer so loudly you can't hear what he's saying, because he makes no fucking sense.
A lot of people say that, the way he speaks, and that it's because he's got a stutter and he's covering it up for it. But I think it's just because he's a cunt.
Yes, I think that's probably
a very,
right.
Very old cunt, by the way. But but to Trump...
Serious?
I'm serious. But to Trump, brilliant. You know, he's
literally just fucking laying the place to waste, isn't he? He's just like, you might as well not bother voting for anybody else, just me. And that's what's happened.
So the next primary is North Carolina, right?
Is it South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Which
Nikki Haley used to be governor of.
Yeah.
And the word is, he's going to fucking...
You'll win, yeah. So the word is that she'll resign before that happens.
Yeah, because she knows, because she keeps saying, we're off to my beloved South Carolina. Right. Well, your beloved South Carolina, Ms. Haley, is going to kick your fucking ass.
Yeah.
They don't like you there. So, anyway, Ron DeSantis, he had the guts, or the sense to pull out.
Right.
What Nikki Haley is now, this remaining rhino Republican in name only.
Yeah.
She's stubborn and she's staying there, and she's officially a waste of money. All these donors.
Well, this is it.
They're losing their money, and millions of dollars.
That's one of the main reasons in the end that DeSantis chucked it in, because I think he realised that the money was running out and nobody was going to give him any more money.
Also, he realised he didn't stand a chance. Mm. Nikki Haley doesn't stand a chance. So some of the Republicans are going, well, why is she still in the race? Well, from the Trump camp, the word came, well, she's a psycho.
And also, the thing that really gets me is that all the same people are saying all the same things they said the last time he almost won the election, and similarly when he did win the election in 2016. You keep hearing them all the time, don't you? They're fucking, you know, oh yeah, here's the problem. He's a psychopath. He's going to ruin the world. He's going to ruin America. He's going to ruin absolutely everything. Well, he's actually not. He's going to probably fix everything.
Millions of, shall we say, reasonable, you know, kind of mainstream Americans now believe Trump's the answer.
Yeah.
Because you strip away, you know, the orange face and the kind of craziness and the sort of self-obsession and the narcissism. You know, A, he wasn't a bad president. And B, his policies make sense. And they appeal to people.
Well, also, the world was a much safer fucking place when he was president.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so he's that he will definitely 100% be the Republican candidate for the election in November, and the Democrats.
No question.
The Democrats desperately trying to work out a way to get rid of that old fossil Biden.
Yeah,
but they can't. So Trump v. Biden, I say Trump wins it.
I think he does win it. And all the same people, again, are saying, well, of course, he won't beat Biden. But they're now beginning to shit themselves, because they're starting to think, actually, it's at least 50-50. And anybody sensible will say, of course, he's got a 50-50 chance at worst.
Yeah.
It could be better than that, you know. But it's all the same people saying, oh, he'll be a nightmare. You know, he'll ruin America. Look at what happened last time. You know, there was anarchy in the capital. Absolute fucking rubbish, you know. Yeah. All these people that went, he tried to fucking coerce the judiciary to change the fucking vote. He didn't really, because it didn't work. You know, all the things that he's accused of doing, the 91 fucking counts against him. None of them are going to make any fucking difference.
Yeah, so the Democrat, there's two schools of thoughts about what the Democrats were up to. One, you know, with the these 91 indictments, I mean, they're pretty much all, well, no, they are all organised by
they're all bollocks.
Democrat yeah. cities, Democrat
I mean, one of the, I'll give you an example of one of the indictments says that he allowed an illegal email to be sent from the White House to the Justice Department, which is, one, not an illegal email, and two, wasn't even sent by him.
Yes.
And so that's the calibre of the fucking indictment. Hardly
a reason for an indictment.
It's not exactly electric chair time, is it?
Anyway, some people say that the Democrats have worked out that if they keep indicting him, it would make him popular
yeah.
with the Republicans,
yeah.
and therefore he'd get the nomination, and they wanted to run against Trump because they thought they could beat him.
Mm.
Two things about that. But also, another thing, more likely, they just thought they could indict him out of the picture.
Yes.
If we keep indicting him, people will go, we can't vote for him.
Right.
But of course, what's happened is the indictments have turned out to be his major campaign.
Fuel for the campaign, yeah.
Yeah, the people...
But do you know what the new line is now from people who hate Trump? It's like, oh yeah, but if he actually gets found guilty on any of these counts, they won't vote for him then. They fucking will.
So either way, so the Democrat, and then of course, you know, if it's true, they wanted Trump to be the candidate. They're now going, oh, that was a bit of a mistake.
Yes.
And if it's true that they were trying to actually indict him out of the picture, that was a massive mistake. So the kind of theme music to the Democrats right now is that thing of wah, wah,
right.
wah, wah.
And also, the other problem Biden's got is that he has to take Kamala Harris with him.
Yeah.
And he can't even pick a new fucking vice presidential candidate, because if he dumps her, then the fucking the ethnic vote will disappear. Yeah. I go, why have you dumped this woman just because she's a woman of color and you got rid of her? You know, so he can't win. So he's going to go into the fucking race with her, clinging around his fucking ankles.
Yeah.
Who's also useless.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think Trump is, well, it's definitely going to be the Republican nominee.
Yeah, and if he picks somebody interesting as his vice president,
I think he's on his way back to the White.
Yeah, I think, but also it'd be fucking great. Be great for us.
It was
watching all the faces of the fucking miserable lefties going, it's terrible.
I thought that the best story I ever would see was when Donald Trump became president. I remember when he won, I couldn't get my fucking head around, this guy's going to be president. Well, I was wrong, because it could be that the best story ever is going to unfold.
Oh, I agree.
And that is, he will be president for a second time.
Absolutely right. Fucking amazing. Well, we shall wait and see, but we hope that it will happen, because I think that would be fucking excellent. This is the Thought Police. We are now going to fuck off, because we've got some other things to do.
Yeah.
And
you can all go fuck yourselves.
You can all go fuck yourselves. And, of course, they like us to finish with that four-letter word, cunt.
Cunts.
And I'm going to say, fucking hell, I was calling a lot of people cunts this week, because the fucking traffic in London thanks to fucking Sadiq Khan is absolutely utterly cuntish.
Before we go,
go on.
Big up to Noel Gallagher, of Oasis.
Oh, of course.
Definitely one of us.
It must be listening to the Thought Police.
And he just suddenly, he should be an honoured guest, and he would be. He suddenly goes to his mate, he goes, apropos of nothing, because I'll tell you, I'll fucking hate. I ate that weasel-faced little cunt, Sadiq Khan, ruined this fucking city.
And the great thing is, as well, that he said it, that he could fucking Sadiq Khan came up to him one time at some function and asked for a picture and told him to fuck off.
Oh, fuck himself. Weasel-faced little cunt, Noel Gallagher on Sadiq Khan.
There you go.
On that bombshell, you're going to all go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly right. See you next week. We'll be right back.
Thank you.